I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and this is Sound Effect. Today on our show, we're talking toilets, something that Mark Lloyd does a lot.
What we have here is a bucket, and it's got a bunch of plastic bags, some litter, some toilet paper, some hand sanitizer, some wipes, and then we have a tent, and in the tent, we have a seat that goes on the toilet.
Mark assembles these rudimentary toilets. He guesses he's done about 75 to 100 of them now, and he just gives them away.
I'm here with your toilet.
Awesome.
This is something he's been doing for about 3 years now, ever since he noticed homeless encampments springing up in his Judkins Park neighborhood. Today, we're at a collection of about 10 tents near the I-90 on-ramp on Rainier Avenue.
Here I am, Mark.
All right.
Dude, I'm so glad you came right now, because I totally forgot, and I was just getting ready to leave, and I was like, damn it.
We meet this woman in a cream-colored fleece and a plaid hair wrap. She'd rather not give her name, but she's been living here in a gray-green tent for quite a while.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, can we set it up back here?
Yeah, sure, well, I can show you how to do it.
Mark positions the bucket with all the supplies. It's up to the residents here to bag up the waste and dispose of it when it gets full. And that's an innovation, actually. Mark says that he'd started out with chemical toilets, but he found that he was spending every weekend servicing them all himself. So he went with simple. A 5-gallon bucket, kitty litter, and a little green army surplus tent for privacy.
Is it like, so it's a pop-up tent?
It's a pop-up.
Okay.
When he first saw the encampments spreading in his neighborhood, his impulse was to wade right into them, meet the people, and find out what they need.
Exactly. Who are the people that are living there? And why is it nobody seems to really know what to do?
And what do you think explains why you had that reaction rather than somebody should get this garbage and these people out of my neighborhood?
Because it was clear that the problem was big enough that you couldn't do that. And also, it was really clear that the city was almost paralyzed.
With the people came the refuse, including plenty of human waste. Mark found that kind of confounding.
In many ways, we're a very prosperous city, but we have people living in tents, in camps that have really no working sanitation.
So Mark quietly set about finding solutions. He doesn't seek out attention, he has no backing from any nonprofit or church, and he doesn't ask for donors.
Well, that's awesome. Nice. Do you do that out of your own pocket?
Or? Yeah.
Wow, that's actually amazing.
Mark says he knows this is all just a drop in the bucket. Those are his words. But it can make a big difference.
Yeah, it's so much better than just like having a bucket or something, you know what I mean? And then, like, most of the people, they go around here on the trees and stuff, and I try to get them to like not do that.
The woman says she's been looking forward to getting one of Mark's setups ever since she saw one that he'd made for her neighbor, Jay.
I talked to Jay when I first seen his little toilet. I was like, where did you get that little cute tent? That's perfect for a toilet. He was like, Mark, you haven't met him? I was like, no. So that's like last time when you came out and you gave us those garbage bags and those blue and white gloves. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
And so you notice all the trash is gone. And
it looks a lot better.
She remarks on how other people have come here to help too, but they seemed kind of impersonal, like they were just fulfilling an obligation. Mark says these relationships are a big part of the point. And as he gets to know people, he finds that they often surprise him.
What do you like to do, like, for a living? Like, besides this?
I mean, I do a lot of stuff. My day job?
Yeah, like,
computers.
Computers.
Computer
like,
networks. You know the internet? I work on the systems the computer. The internet runs on.
Okay, well, I took AutoCAD. And so,
really?
Doing AutoCAD, yeah, we had a part of it. We had to do Photoshop. We had to do blueprint reading. Yeah, so I can do more things than the average girl can do, actually.
For Mark Lloyd, sanitation is important, but it's really kind of a means to an end.
I mean, I really like giving out toilets and feeling like I'm doing something there, but I feel the most value when I've been able to sort of help someone out who I've gotten to know. You know, taking them to the hospital, talking to them about getting them maybe into drug treatment, connecting them with people that I know in the city to get them into housing.
The way people respond to those offers vary widely. Sometimes a person seems receptive and grateful, but then he never hears from them again.
Like, there was somebody I don't know if we're going to meet today. She's pregnant and has not been getting prenatal care. And plus she has some addiction issues. And so I had a conversation with her and I said, hey, I'm going to be out. I got a toilet. And if you want, we can go up to Swedish.
Swedish Medical Center has a walk-in prenatal care clinic on Tuesdays. Mark's hoping to give her a lift there today.
Haven't heard back. But you have to have a tolerance for that. That sometimes you try to help somebody and you think, oh, they really want help, and other times not.
So we just walked down the on-ramp toward I-90. Then we hopped up over a little concrete wall.
While Mark waits for the pregnant woman to text him back, we head to another nearby camp where a young woman named Megan is waiting for a replacement toilet. Mark's also bringing her a sharps container for used needles.
So, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
I brought you your toilet.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you.
Brought you one of these.
Thank you. At this encampment, I've only been here for a few months, but I mean, we've pretty much been in the same area for probably about a year, year and a half, you know.
Megan lives here with her boyfriend. She says this simple setup, a bucket and a tent, brings humanity back to this pretty scruffy campsite.
It makes a huge difference because usually, like without that, we're like having to squat in the bushes and stuff like that, and no privacy whatsoever. And people come around the corner and I like see you, and it's just like, it's really, really invasive, you know. So, but with these things, there's like privacy, and I know that I've had like way less UTIs and stuff like that because of it, and you know, so it makes it a lot better for us.
So you've noticed that you yourself have been healthier because of this?
Yeah, definitely healthier. Yeah, that's for sure.
Mark's work makes these encampments a little healthier and a little easier to live in. But once we're back in the car, Mark acknowledges that, to some people, this looks like enabling a dangerous lifestyle. He doesn't really buy it, but he gets that way of thinking.
Oftentimes, people are living in a very bad situation and struggling with drug addiction, and they're struggling with all sorts of things. And one can argue that you're making it easier for that. And I can accept that. Some people who help out homeless people really don't like that. I'm quite happy to accept that, and I try to own that, and I always feel like I have to do enough that any of that I'm sort of counterbalancing.
Mark says he's willing to confront those gray areas, that to tackle really intractable problems like homelessness and addiction, you may have to get your hands a little dirty.
You know, I have a saying that is, if you have moral clarity, you aren't in deep enough. I think a lot of people want to be in a situation where they feel like you're the good guy and you're doing really good work and the whole world's better because of what you're doing. And I try to do things that do better, but I'm quite willing to accept that something I do may actually have some sort of blowback or maybe not helping people in the way I want to. And if that's the case, I've got to, you know, maybe I got to adjust what I'm doing.
Take today. That pregnant young woman that Mark was hoping to meet and take to prenatal care, well, she never returns his messages. Mark says you just have to accept that sometimes people aren't ready for the help or don't want it. Still, Mark says the work can bring rich rewards. There are plenty of examples.
One of the funnest ones was a gentleman that lived up near, actually near I-5 and I-90, the camp you're at, and he ended up being sent to the hospital because he was in terrible shape. He's an older gentleman. And I had got him a toilet, and I had got to know him over the years. He's quite a character. And so myself and my other friend, we would visit him over in the hospital. And first time I talked to him, he talked about his family. The second time I was there, I said, you know, well, can I try to get in touch with your daughter?
The guy had been estranged from his daughter for a long time. But when Mark made the suggestion, he agreed to let Mark call her.
And I was sitting there with my phone with one of these, you know, video chats of them talking for the first time in years. And they ended up getting together, and he still can be a challenging person, but he's reconciled with his daughter.
It's something that might not have happened if Mark hadn't taken the time to get to know this man as a human being. It's a connection that, in this case, and many others, started with a toilet.